Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine you're a child whose birthday is approaching. And as each day passes, it becomes more and more exciting as you wonder what gift you might receive. And then on the morning of your birthday, you wake up and you come into the kitchen for breakfast. And there at your spot at the table is a large gift, a beautiful gift, with your name on it. And when you open it, you discover just what an amazing gift it is. It's not some mass-produced, store-bought, no-thought-given plastic trinket. It's a beautifully handcrafted, one-of-a-kind, specialized thing built and given by your loving Father specifically for you. It's the most incredible thing you've ever seen. There's nothing else like it. And then as you look closer, you see tucked inside a tiny piece of paper. You pull it out and read the instructions, and they're very brief but very specific. Caution: do not use alone. Must only be played with others. For the last two Sundays, we've been considering the fact that the Holy Spirit is a gift giver. We've been gifted with faith to believe and become God's children. We've been made His by grace through faith. In fact, that Greek word grace literally means gift. And what I've tried to emphasize is the fact that whatever the gift may be, it's just that. It's a gift. We don't earn or deserve it, otherwise it wouldn't be a gift. It would be the result of our own efforts. God loves to give gifts. And who doesn't like to receive gifts? He's given us the gift of life and the gift of eternal life. He's given us the gifts of family, friends, food, clothing, shelter. And Scripture also indicates, as we've been talking about these past couple of weeks, that He's given to each of us, His children, some spiritual gift to be used to serve and build up His church. But what exactly is a spiritual gift? There are lots of views and opinions on this. And unfortunately, some of the views and opinions about spiritual gifts haven't been very helpful to God's reason for giving them. In fact, the church at Corinth was experiencing this very thing. When you read the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it would be completely appropriate to breathe a prayer of thanks to God that the church you're in doesn't have the problems that they have. Paul had founded that church on his second missionary journey. And the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, we read that he stayed there in Corinth for a year and a half. The only place Paul stayed anywhere longer was in the city of Ephesus. And it was there in Ephesus that messengers from Corinth came to plead with Paul to help them. And that's where he wrote First, and then sometime later, Second Corinthians. That church was very dear to Paul's heart. He knew the people intimately. And when he heard about their problems, it must have deeply troubled him. So, in chapters 1 through 12, in his first letter, he writes very pointedly to his beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in chapter 13, Paul sums up their problem and offers them a solution. Most of us are familiar with chapter 13, at least parts of it for sure, and it's introduced this way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul says that all of their problems stem from one thing. They're not loving one another as they ought. And one of their problems was the use of spiritual gifts. In particular, which gifts were more important? And that's what we heard referred to in that epistle lesson that we just read. Paul acknowledges that these gifts come from God, but they're given to bless the church and the people in it, not divided. And by using the metaphor of a body, Paul drives home the point that every person, with whatever gift they may have, is needed and is indispensable. Whether you say that your gift is too little and it can't be used, or whether you say, or someone says, this gift is not important, that's all untrue. So God has given to each of us gifts. Gifts that function, that contribute to the function of the body of Christ that meets here. And no gift is greater than another. As the pastor, I may be the most visible member, and people, at least I hope, would certainly notice if I didn't show up each Sunday. But the gift that I have that enables me to do what I do is not more important than anyone else's. It's simply different. Every member of this church is important and contributes to the common good in some way. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul highlights another important truth about God's gifts. No matter what it may be, any gift from God can be misused. And when it is, it's harmful. Harmful to us, harmful to the body. Food is a gift. But if you eat it in excess and become obese, or you refuse to eat because you have a problem like anorexia or bulimia, that good gift of food becomes harmful. The ability to earn money in order to feed your family is a gift and a good thing. But when you spend so much time trying to earn more and more to the neglect of your family, it becomes a bad thing. And being given a spiritual gift from God is a good thing. But if it becomes something to boast about or cause you to become prideful, that good gift harms you and harms others. And that's why Paul reminds the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit gives out spiritual gifts for a reason. They're to be used for the common good. They're to be used to enable the church to perform the ministry of the church more effectively. In fact, these gifts should unify us to such an extent that we realize we're actually dependent on one another and need each and every gift the Spirit is willing to bestow. It's possible for a church to have all the gifts that are needed and for every believer to know what their gift is and yet still be self-focused, self-centered, and spiritually handicapped. The Corinthian church is proof of that. So as we continue to try to understand how God has gifted us here at Grace, let's always remember a spiritual gift is a specific ability given by God for the purpose of service, both within the church and in the world for the benefit of others, to further God's kingdom. Spiritual gifts are given by God. This is one of the ways that spiritual gifts are different from talents or skills. I may not know anything about hitting a golf ball, and anybody that's seen me on the course knows this to be true. But I can spend some time and I can spend money and develop that skill to a degree. Maybe not so much that I could ever make a living doing it, or even consider it my recreation of choice, but through my own effort, I can learn it, more or less. Spiritual gifts aren't there because we went to school or took lessons to read a book about them. They are given to us by God. We can develop our spiritual gifts, exercise them, if you will. We can work on them and get better at using them, especially if we know what they are, but they come from outside of us, from God. And spiritual gifts are given for the purpose of service. The Spirit doesn't give us gifts for self-improvement or even to make us stronger Christians. No one is given the gift of leadership so that they can get people to do what they want, but rather to be able to organize and lead people toward a common goal which serves God's kingdom. God doesn't place within someone the gift of hospitality so that they can be seen as the nicest person on the block, but so that they can welcome and care for people in Christ's name. Spiritual gifts help us to point to God and His love. And spiritual gifts are given to further the kingdom of God. God doesn't just give us gifts. He doesn't just give us this or that gift so that people will idolize us or write about us so that, but so that we can help others. And as we do that, as we help people, serve people, with no thought to what's in it for us, but simply because that's what God has in mind, it will encourage fellow believers in their faith journey, and it will give those who don't yet know Jesus a closer look at what His love really looks like in very real and practical ways. So what is your spiritual gift or gifts? If I were to ask you what God has given you that enables you to serve Him and the people around you, how would you answer? I know that some would answer this way. What's my spiritual gift? Nothing. So let's go ahead and start there. First, that's not true. There's not a believer in this sanctuary that God left out when it comes to spiritual gifts. The Bible's clear that all who are in Christ have the Holy Spirit who equips them, each of them, in some particular way or ways. That's what we call spiritual gifts. And it may be that we have a hard time acknowledging or identifying what we would call a spiritual gift, because it's something that you typically do naturally, without thinking about it. Something you do well, something that gives you fulfillment. In fact, something that when you do it, you assume that it's so easy that anyone can do it. It's a gift that you may well be using and don't even know that it's been given to you in order to use it in God's kingdom. So if you're having a hard time identifying what your spiritual gift or gifts may be, you might ask your brother or sister here at Grace or another fellow Christian who knows you well, what gifts do they see in you? What do they see about you, the way you do things? Are you the person who gets things organized? Are you the one who jumps in to help in any way they can? When you see someone hurting, do you stop to talk to them? Or go out of your way to make sure they're taken care of? Those are the types of things that may well be a reflection of your spiritual gifts. And now if you're still not sure, there are surveys or inventories that you can take that might help point you in a direction. And we're actually going to offer you one of those that we want to use here at Grace to try to help us identify how God has gifted us as a body. That's going to be available next week and the weeks after. And that, by God's grace, will give us not only a sense of what we can do as a church in this community, but maybe also what we should be doing as a church in our community. God has gifted us for some purpose, and the gifts of the people that He has brought here ought to point us in the direction that He wants us to move. But there's one other thing that we need to bear in mind about spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts that he wants us to have when he wants us to have them. Another way of saying that might be that we can't tell the Holy Spirit what he must or must not do. And Jesus touched on that in his conversation with Nicodemus when he said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Holy Spirit will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. I think he just asks us to be on the lookout and to be ready to serve him as we can. And when we do, and when a broken and hurting world watches us, so many different people, so many different personalities, watches us cooperate and move in unison to meet needs, some will be drawn to want to know more about what's going on here. How is it that we don't operate with an every man for himself attitude, but instead we care about people because Jesus cares about people? You see, God always supplies the means to accomplish what he would have us do. And an important word there, that I hesitate to say this as a Christian, as a Lutheran, because we don't like the word us. We don't like to be pointing to ourselves, but that is an important word here. And here's why. Remember the very specific instructions of that gift I mentioned earlier? Caution. Do not use alone. Must be played with others. That's how our spiritual gifts are to be used. For the good of others, to the glory of God, and to the building up of his kingdom. Amen.